I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's extra weekly episode of Dame Baptiste Questions Everything, which we are calling DBQs. On DBQs, myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dame Baptiste, my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer,
hello,
are going to be delving into some of the things that have happened in this week's news.
That's right, Dane, it's time to question one of this week's big stories, and this week's big story is going to be, what the fuck is going on with Vinicius Jr.? Celebrations. This is a Brazilian footballer who plays for Real Madrid. It's worth pointing out, listeners, you know, this isn't going to be that football orientated in some respects, but it's this remarkable situation that's played out where this guy is, we're talking top 10 players in the world right now, right? He's up there.
Yeah, I'd say he's fair. I mean, you're playing for Galacticos and you're a Brazilian international.
He scored the winning goal in the Champions League final. You don't need to know football to know that guy's smashing it, right?
I think for most people, when they dream about the levels you want to reach in football, playing for Galacticos as well as being a Brazilian international and a Champions League final winner, there's really very few achievements left in professional football.
And he is a very big character, I'd say. He's not a kind of, you know, some footballers, when they score a goal, it looks like, you know, they've literally just like won on the battlefield. They're screaming, you know, he has that, but he's more of a celebrator. He's, you know, his Brazilian roots, he loves
to dance. It's a Brazilian. They do the samba. It's like, you know, Ronaldinho was known for doing the whole thing as well.
Exactly. Ronaldinho was famous for it. Yeah. And so what's happened is people have started complaining. Well, actually, a particularly specific commentator, pundit in Spain, suggested he should stop dancing and doing these monkey dances, which, as we know, is a fucking ridiculous statement to make. And then what happened next was Vinicius Jr. came out and said, I can do what I want. I'm celebrating. And he wrote this list of all these people who he's celebrating by doing these dances, including people from where he grew up. And conveniently, he keeps scoring. So he keeps getting to dance. So he scored the other day. And during that game, he was subject to racist abuse by the Atletico Madrid fans. And I just don't know, Dane, like, I kind of think to myself, what the fuck? How is this a thing?
I mean, it's very easy to see why it's a thing. I mean, first of all, Spain, like Italy, is known for their known for their historic racism. Both of them were formerly fascist nations. So having that sentiment that still remains in those countries is not surprising, number one. Number two, monkey has always been used as a pejorative term to describe black people, which has always been interesting considering if you are the party that are throwing bananas, and also historically white supremacists used to put shit through people's letterboxes. I think if you're the ones throwing bananas and if you're throwing shit at other people, to call other people monkeys is quite ironic, especially when Europe seems to be the part of the world which espouses all of the Darwinist and evolutionary rhetoric that claims that human beings evolve from primates. So if you're the ones that say that you are literally monkeys and throw shit at people and throw bananas at people, it seems very strange that you would regard black people as monkeys. But there you go. And there I think it's the thing about football is that its roots are for the largely European working class, who within their own nations have always been, I guess, been under forms of oppression, whether it's through monarchism or capitalism. And I think one of the reasons why that's been able to continue to thrive in European countries is because of the fact that white supremacy also prospers in European countries, which means that most people in these places can rationalize that while they will never have particularly remarkable lives or make any remarkable achievements like an athlete like Vinicius Jr., by being white or having proximity to whiteness in a form of like monarchy, they're able to reclaim some level of self-esteem. Because what people need to understand is there was a point in time where the idea that black people would be outperforming other people in athletic circles was a laughable idea, which was one of the justifications for Jim Crow laws and segregation. But I think now, where we see in almost all aspects of sports and sports entertainment, black people are overrepresented and tend to overachieve. And so the racist backlash for me is not surprising at all, because for people that are essentially quite jealous, who have been able to rationalize their existence by thinking, I'm even as humble or as, you know, basic as my life is, I'm better than any other black person on the planet. Seeing black people now, you know, realizing their athletic and financial potential by that same merit makes a lot of people very jealous.
I mean, you're being almost too kind in some sense, Dane, because, like, you know, my wife, I was watching the Arsenal game, which was very good, the other day, and my wife came in. My wife, I would say, is, you know, a liberal person.
Yeah.
And she said to me, can I ask you something? Like, are all of the Arsenal players black? And I was like, hang on a sec. Yeah, 80%. 80%. And then she was like, oh, is that the common? And I was like, yeah. In fact, fuck football. It's common across all sports, pretty much. American sport, I don't know what white people are doing generally, but they're not playing sport by the looks of it.
Well, I mean, they may play some sports, you know, and this the thing is that there's
always been a level of elitism in sports. NFL and NBA.
Yeah, are massively overrepresented. And that's why you hear equally racial rhetoric in America, where it's like, if you have someone like Colin Kaepernick, who kneels in protest of police brutality, he's told to be quiet and do his job and not to be involved in politics, despite the fact, in the same way that when LeBron James expressed, his dissatisfaction at state of race relations in the States, he's told to shut up and dribble, because the idea is that, you know, that these people who were workhorses and beasts of burden during a chattel slavery, who have been able to now migrate into professional sports, should be maintaining the same status as their ancestors and remaining quiet and performing their jobs for the entertainment of people of European descent. But that's just not how the world works.
Well, I find it really interesting as well, mate, because I'm a Jew, right? Let me tell you something about my people. We ain't coming to take your places in sport, Dane. I promise you.
I'm well aware, Howard.
Yeah. We know that, right?
Maybe Jews were part of the drive that allowed for the integration of black people, or they were part of the integration of black people, both in music and in sports.
Of course, but what's fascinating, though, is just to think that the Jews, you know, are often stereotyped as being good at certain things, and it always creates this kind of backlash because people don't want to be stereotyped, and sometimes it comes down to money, and you know what? As we know, that's not that bad a thing in a lot of ways. But with this sports scenario, it's just undeniable that the power and presence with the black community in professional sport.
Yeah, I mean, and that's because for black people, a lot of time, professional sports is not a game, because it can mean the difference between being able to feed your family or transcend your position. And so, you know, it's historic. And because of that fact, it's historically one of the only arenas in which black people are given a platform to express themselves, because they're denied it in so many ways, whether it's economically or politically on both a local and global stage.
Yeah.
Sports and entertainment seem to be two of the holy trinity of black social mobility that we get to observe. And because of that, there are a lot of white people who are massively resentful of that. There are, like, it's hard to imagine this now, but there are a lot of white people historically who thought the idea of a black man becoming a professional heavyweight champion of the world in boxing would be a laughable idea. Whereas nowadays, the idea that a black man is not a successful boxer would be laughable to people now.
Well, and let alone become president of the United States.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's all the same thing. And you know, again, there has been an attempt to reduce this success, where black footballers are referred to as being savages, relying on their physicality and relying on their pace as opposed to their insight and technical ability. Like, this came up before with Yaya Toure as a box-to-box midfielder, someone who played for Man City in Barcelona and was, you know, integral to some of their successes. A lot of the time, pundits will try and reduce that to brutality. The same was said of Didier Drogba, but because of his poise and his dignity, he was able to revolutionise the image of the continental African footballer.
We'll be back after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. But the thing I was going to flag up as part of this conversation, which I think we've covered a very simple bit of this conversation, mate, which is like, there's loads of fucking jealous, racist white people looking at the success of black sports people, and there's these reactions, and those racist Atletico Madrid fans should never be allowed to fucking go to a game again. But the bit that I do find interesting, as in like a little bit more, there's a little bit more discussion to be had maybe, is the celebration element. The fact that a celebration has caused this, like, it's almost as no...
They take it personally, because the idea that a black man is celebrating his talents instead of being humble and standing under the umbrella of white supremacy, that makes a lot... That makes what racist white people, makes them offended. In the same way that when Muhammad Ali would use, like, rhyming stanzas to describe his athletic prowess, or when he would make, politically charged statements about his status as a black man in America, people hated that fact. You know, we saw it in the UK where, you know, people would speak negatively about someone like Chris Eubank, or they speak negatively about Nigel Benn. But Frank Bruno was always celebrated by the white press because he would show that he identifies with Margaret Thatcher, and he would downplay the existence of racism. And at the end, he had a fucking nervous breakdown because he, was dealing with the duality of being called an Uncle Tom by his black contemporaries, and also trying to conform to this idea of like idealized blackness with the whole, you know what I mean, Harry. And we see it a number of times where we see, you know, I'm trying to remember his name, but he was a former, I think he played for Northampton, and he was the head of the Council for Racial Equality with the FA. And he ended up having a nervous breakdown because he literally couldn't take the weight of racism. Yeah, I think so. Because I think he did a documentary as well where he spoke to his dad about his dad becoming a footballer, and his dad was like, I couldn't do it because of the racism. It's like my dad played cricket county level.
Yeah.
And I asked why he didn't proceed further, and he said partly due to, he said injury, but he also said it's because of the fact that most cricket clubs in the UK, the patrons are largely middle-class white men and bankers who hold very racist views, and also will actively work to impede the success of black athletes. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in across, and that's, you know, because of the fact that, you know, a large part of the collective consciousness in Europe is underpinned by white supremacy. And so anything which kind of defies that idea makes people very uncomfortable. They'll fight against it. This is why Americans have left behind the British in sports for many years, because the British are so elite that they have an idea that we can lose as long as we maintain our dignity. I mean, even myself, playing football with comedians, with white middle-class comedians, I've seen how their behavior is. I've had several microaggressions where I've been told, you can play on this team because black guys have got pace, which is supposed to be said in jest. But I think with today's social climate, if I was to repeat the things that were said to me by members of British comedy's elite during these football games, I think a lot of them would be in a lot of trouble. A lot of them don't like the idea of being outperformed, especially if they're of middle class. They definitely don't like to indulge the narrative which takes place on the pitch, where playing football can be a very vocal thing, involves a lot of communication, which can be very, you know, can come across very aggressive if you're not au fait with the culture of football. And unfortunately, or not unfortunately, but as a matter of fact, a lot of white men are not used to being spoken to in that fashion by someone that's much darker than them. And they take a particular umbrage to that because they believe, as well as being racist, that they're if they're not out and out racist, they're chauvinist, and they believe that people of a certain class have a certain place.
Well, and that celebration that he does, which you can look it up, listeners, it's like a samba dancing vibe to it. And it is almost like sending a message to people now. And the fact that other players have started doing it. Do you see that Gabriel Jesus, the Arsenal player, did it in honour of him? I was like, it's fascinating because it's like, it looks like the most playful, like, I just did my job really well. Yeah, I just have a little, like, how you know, how that can fuck off these people and get them into this situation they're in now, where some of those people are going to, you know...
I totally understand why it fucks them off, because the idea of black people expressing themselves positively without any dependence on white liberals, or, you know, at within the parameters of how conservatives deem it okay, makes people jealous and it makes people very upset. Like, you know, and it happens on both sides. It's even the fact that, you know, I go back to comedy being very important, because comedy exists as an honest form of politics. The reason why comedy is very different to other forms of expression, particularly for people of color, is you can give an honest account or a first person account of your experiences in your life, which allows you to challenge or defy stereotypes. Because of that, it makes it very difficult for people to continue to uphold an idea of white supremacy, which is why in the UK in particular, suppression of black voices has been a cornerstone of British society, because, you know, of the after effects of Anglo-imperialism. Most countries in the world speak English, which means most art forms have a basis of being in English, which is why even if you are a white working class comic, you can go to any country in the world, most probably, and you'll be able to find a stage where you can speak in English and people will understand you, because that's the language and the narrative of English, which is why people have worked so hard to suppress black voices. That's why, for example, in this country, Howard, you've never had a more prominent hip-hop DJ than Tim Westwood. Now, if you are a black person in your late 30s or 40s and approach the BBC, for example, with the idea of being a hip-hop DJ, they'd find the idea laughable, because they would say that your aesthetic and age does not suit a hip-hop demographic. So explain to me why a man who is the same age as my father has been the foremost voice for hip-hop in this country for years.
And look what we did with the power.
Yeah, it's in the same way that, like, it's not for me, I've said it many times, for so long, like, Lenny Henry has been the voice of black comedy in the UK. Lenny Henry has had a career that spans since, what, the 70s to the early 80s?
Yeah, correct.
Can you think of any other comic who is pushed as being a representative of their culture or background for almost 40 years? That doesn't happen. There would be a space to allow for more voices to give more nuanced versions of that experience. But, you know, in this country, that's not something they want to happen. And I think the same thing is of all of the racist fans within football, is that this allows football, it may be one of the last vestiges of European slash white identity that working class white people have, that allowed them to galvanize. They don't really have functioning monarchies anymore. Like, the state of bipartisan politics in Europe has been destroyed. And, you know, I think through the proliferation of science and technology, you don't have the privilege of being special just because you're white anymore.
I think there's a real, I'll be interested to see, because it's the, around the time this episode comes out, the England team will be playing a couple of international games. I'll be interested to see, you know, if you've got Saka and Sterling and a couple other players in that team, who I wonder if they score, if they'll all do it too, as a sign of solidarity to finish as junior.
I mean, it'd be interesting for them to see, but I definitely know for a fact that, like, the behaviour of English fans during the Euros is a clear indication of the place in which they see black people. And I guess, you know, it goes to show you that rather than being accepted, we are still very much tolerated within these circles. And those come under conditions that you can talk, but don't talk too much. And you can say stuff as long as you say it within certain parameters.
Well, we've talked about Sterling before, haven't we? You
know, yeah, exactly. And but I think the days have gone where athletes stick to this, their sport, or are seen and not heard. And I think it's especially because of the fact that, you know, when you look at places like the Ukraine, where the president himself is a former comedian, I think the idea that artists, creatives, and performers having to remain outside of socio-political circles has gone. I think that the internet has social media has allowed for the democratization of voices. And I think, you know, anybody who pays tax has a right to have a voice. And I think also in a world where, particularly in this part of Europe, where we tend to champion and encourage and defend freedom of speech, freedom of expression should be exactly the same. And if you are offended by a dance, then it says a lot about you. But, you know, again, at the same time, Spanish people like to be known for dancing, but they have to remember who can do it better than them.
Keep dancing, Vinny. Keep dancing, mate.
But and also keep scoring, because that's the best part as well. And people like Pedro Bravo can just be fucking has-beens, and you keep talking from the sidelines where you fucking belong.
We'll hopefully see him score some goals in the World Cup later this year. And the conversation will get broadened out even further as to why, in what kind of fucking universe we live in, is that actually a conversation. But we've shown our support to this subject. It's been a good one to talk about, mate. I think there's layers to it that when you look at the press, it ain't clear that that's what the story is.
Absolutely. And I think even, and you know, the idea, and I think it's good to show again that Eve, that within these circles where, you know, social mobility can be observed by black people and expression can be observed, that people continue to use their platforms to enrich and empower others as well as themselves. So yeah, big up Vinicius Jr. Continue dancing and doing your samba, because people like Colin Kaepernick for bringing up the discussion of police brutality to the fore. Big up people like Simone Biles, who was one of the first people to be outspoken about sexual assault within gymnastics, and yeah, giving a voice to the voiceless. And continuing to do so. Long may it continue, I think.
And we'll be back with another DBQ next week, won't we, Dave?
Absolutely. Answering all those questions, unfiltered, uncensored, dancing in your fucking faces like we just scored a goal.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste and myself, Howard Cohen. For more from Dane and myself, make sure you follow us on Instagram at DaneSnaptiste and at the Howard Cohen. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a question for Dane, make sure you send us a DM on Instagram at DBQEpodcast, and we could feature you in our next episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and remember, question everything.
Insanity Group.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.